Have Aaron your brother brought to you from among the Israelites, along with his sons Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, so they may serve me as priests. Make sacred garments for your brother Aaron to give him dignity and honor. Tell all the skilled men to whom I have given wisdom in such matters that they are to make garments for Aaron for his consecration, so he may serve me as priest. These are the garments they are to make: a breastpiece, an ephod, a robe, a woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. They are to make these sacred garments for your brother Aaron and his sons, so they may serve me as priests. Have them use gold and blue, purple and scarlet yarn, and fine linen.
Second reading is the next chapter along, Exodus 29, verses 1 to 14. This is what you are to do to consecrate them, so they may serve me as priests. Take a young bull and two rams without defect, and from the finest wheat flour make round loaves without yeast, thick loaves without yeast and with olive oil mixed in, and thin loaves without yeast and brushed with olive oil. Put them in a basket. Present them along with the bull and the two rams. Then bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance to the tent of meeting. Wash them with the water. Take the garments and dress Aaron with the tunic, the robe of the ephod itself, and the breastpiece. Fasten the ephod on him by its skillfully woven waistband. Put the turban on his head and attach the sacred emblem to the turban. Take the anointing oil and anoint him by pouring it on his head. Bring his sons and dress them in tunics and fasten caps on them. Then tie sashes on Aaron and his sons. The priesthood is theirs by a lasting ordinance. Then you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. Bring the bull to the front of the tent of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on its head. Slaughter it in the Lord's presence at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Take some of the bull's blood and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger, and pour out the rest of it at the base of the altar. Then take all the fat on the internal organs and the long lobe of the liver, and both kidneys with fat on them, and burn them on the altar. But burn the bull's flesh and its hide and its intestines outside the camp. It is a sin offering.
I did forget to mention before, thank you to all those who served at our Working Bee yesterday, helping steward this building. Thanks to Jay for organising it, people that helped throughout the week, and yesterday pruning the trees out the front and painting and cleaning up cobwebs and steam cleaning many of the chairs. Just fantastic work. Just to let you know, we've now got a whole new meeting room up there in a church where spaces to meet are at a bit of a premium here. There's two new couches up there. They're semi-comfortable and you can go up there. They look nice. They're up there. You can go up there and it's a room for another room for a Bible study or ministry team or anything like that as well. Also in the hall, one of the things we discovered is boxes and boxes and boxes of books donated by a previous minister here who shall not be named. And I've checked, and the intention was that they're given for congregation members. So we've laid them out there in the hall. And so if you want to take any of them, head on in there. They're yours for the taking. Well, we are journeying through the book of Exodus, and we're in the part of Exodus that people often skip over. I said last week, it feels a bit like an anticlimax, because you've got all this great stuff in Exodus, the burning bush and the rivers of blood and the plagues, and then you've got 15 chapters about the building of a tent. It feels like an anticlimax. Why on earth would this be in the Bible? We saw last week, which was kind of part one of these two sermons, last week we looked at the building of that tabernacle, the tent. And we saw it is God's way of dwelling with his people. God wanted a relationship, and there he dwelt with the Israelites. Today, we're going to look at the people who worked in that tabernacle. You know, in every important building, there are the people who work in it. Take the White House. Fancy building. Beautiful decorations, just like the tabernacle. But what makes it so special? It's the people that work in there, the president, but also the groundskeepers and the cleaners and the receptionists and the secret service, and the list goes on. It's a place of work. And so it was with the tabernacle. This was a fancy tent we saw last week. But there are people who are doing very important work in there. And they are the priests. They're the priests. I wonder if you've ever thought to yourself, gee, I need a priest. Not many people in 2026 walk around thinking, yeah, I need a priest today. What is a priest? A priest is someone who is set apart by God to approach God for themselves and for the sake of others. I'll say that again. A priest is someone set apart by God to approach God for themselves and for the sake of others. And what we read here in Exodus is Aaron and his sons were the first priests. We're going to look at these priests this morning. There's quite a few chapters about these priests. But what I hope we're going to see is actually, yes, you and I need a priest, but we don't need a priest like this. These priests in Exodus, they're kind of like, you know how they often release computer programs and they release the beta versions. You know those? It's like the first model where they iron out some of the problems, and then they release the proper first edition. These priests here in the Old Testament, they're like the beta model, that they point forward to Jesus. Jesus is the priest you and I need. Jesus is the perfect priest representing us. He's better in every way. Not just that, these priests point to you and to me. You know, the Bible and the New Testament talks about Christians as priests. You ever thought about yourself as a priest? You may not be ordained. You may not be a church minister. But the Bible calls you, if you're a Christian, a priest. Look on the screen. It's Revelation chapter 1. It says, to him who loved us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve God and Father, our Father. That is you. You're a priest. You are set aside to serve God, not in the same way as these Exodus priests, but set aside to serve the Lord Jesus. And so as we look at these Old Testament priests this morning, I hope we'll constantly look to Jesus, the perfect priest, and you and I, who are like mini priests serving the Lord Jesus today. Let's look at these priests. Number one, what were these priests to do? They were set apart as holy. They were set apart as holy. We saw last week that God is holy and is dwelling in his tabernacle. And we saw like that it's like a nuclear reactor where there's, you know, the closer to the core you get, the more you're exposed to. And so less and less people were able to get to the center of the tabernacle because that's where God dwelt. And he's holy, perfect, pure. And so these priests, their job was to go into that area and meet with God. And so because God is holy, they had to be holy. And you can see that in their clothes. Many jobs have a uniform, don't they? If you're a police officer, you've got a police uniform. If you work at Macca's, you've got a Macca's uniform. If you're a tradie, you've got your high-vis on. Same with the priests. There's many chapters in Exodus that detail the uniform they're to wear. because it shows that they are holy. They're set apart for an important job. If you've got your Bibles open at Exodus 28, you can see there in verse 2, Exodus 28 verse 2, make sacred garments for your brother Aaron to give him dignity and honour. So that's what these clothes were to do, give dignity and honour. They're meeting with God. At a church I've served at previously, we had a problem where there were too many people up the front of church leading the worship and prayers wearing baseball caps, looking a bit too casual. And we had to say, no, actually, you know, you're representing the Lord Jesus. You're serving and leading us to focus on Jesus. And it's a role with dignity and honour. Your clothes matter. I'll keep reading. Tell all the skilled workers to whom I have given wisdom in such matters that they're to make garments for Aaron for his consecration so he may serve me as priests. These are the garments they're to make: a breastpiece, an ephod, a robe, a woven tunic, a turban and a sash. They're to make these sacred garments for your brother Aaron and his sons so that they may serve as priests. If you're going to go and meet with the King of England, you don't walk in wearing a singlet. You're meeting with someone special. And these priests, they're meeting with God. And their clothes set them apart as holy. Their uniform is actually made of the same material that the tabernacle was made of. So anyone who saw a priest walking around would go, wow. Wow, this person is set apart to meet with God. Wow, they're wearing the same material as the tabernacle. Wow. Let's have a look quickly at there's chapters and chapters detailing all of the uniform. Let's just do it quickly. A bit of a fashion show, a bit of a catwalk. We'll walk through the outfit that these priests were wearing. They had an ephod, which was like an apron made of golden, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. They had a breastpiece made of golden fine linen. It's that square thing you can see there. And it was tied to Aaron's heart. They had robes with pomegranates on it, symbolizing that their ministry was fruitful in the presence of God. And they had bells on their robes, which would ring so everyone could hear the ring and know, the priest is meeting with God. And he's still alive because I can hear the ringing. They had a turban that said, "Holy to the Lord." And my favourite part of the verses talking about the priest's undies. A few verses about that. Bit longer than boxer shorts because they need to have modesty because they're meeting with God. These are holy priests. But you know what? They were still sinners. They needed forgiveness themselves. They needed to make sacrifices for their own sins, which is not ideal, having a priest who's a sinner themselves. But not Jesus. Jesus is our priest who didn't need clothes to make him holy. He was perfect, never sinned. On the screen is Hebrews 7. It says, "Such a high priest, Jesus, truly meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens." Friends, that is our priest, our perfect priest, Jesus Christ. He has never sinned, which means you can trust him to deal with your problem of sin because he's never sinned himself. Well, I said that the Old Testament priests, they point to Jesus. They also point to you. See, if you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus, you are holy. You're set apart for God. But it's not because of your clothes, though you're wearing lovely clothes this morning, all of you. But that's not what makes you holy. You're clothed in Christ. You're clothed in Jesus. Because Jesus has washed you clean by his blood when he died for you on the cross. And just like people would look at those Old Testament priests and go, wow, our prayer is that people look at us and go, wow. Not because of anything impressive about you, but because in your life, you are showing people that you follow Jesus. As they look at your way of life and your obedience and your worship, they go, wow, there is something different about this person. This person is following the Lord Jesus. We offer our lives as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, showing the world who Jesus is. That's the first thing the priests did. They were set apart as holy. Number two, these priests, they made sacrifices. They made sacrifices. We saw last week the way the tabernacle was set up and all these sacrifices that had to be made. There's the outer courtyard where there was like a big barbecue that was always on and animals would be sacrificed. And the priests would go, the high priest would go and make more sacrifices on the altar. They were busy. I wonder if you ever realized this was like a really busy job for them. It was a hard work. Every day, the people of Israel were told to sacrifice a lamb in the morning and the night. So, I mean, that place was just constantly busy, round the clock with sacrifices. There would have been blood constantly. It would have been messy, heavy, hard work, long hours. They had to make sacrifices firstly for themselves, because these priests were sinners themselves. And if they're going to meet with God, they better deal with their own sin first. Which is a reminder for any of us here who are leaders in the church. Our sin matters. God wants us to live holy lives. Our character matters. These priests had to make sacrifices first for themselves. It talks in chapter 29 about ceremonial washing as well and anointing with oil to be set apart. It talks about bulls and rams. The priest would take a bull and put two hands on the bull and slaughter it. Why? Why the two hands? It was symbolizing that this bull was dying in their place. It symbolized that this bull was their substitute, dying instead of them so that they could be forgiven. Then they made sacrifices for the people. Every day, for hundreds of years, these priests were very, very busy. Well, if you're here this morning and you're brand new, I'm a priest. I'm ordained as a priest. But you'll be happy to know I'm not about to sacrifice a bull here this morning. It'd be a good story. It'd be a memorable service. But no, I'm not going to do that. Because we got something far better. Jesus, our perfect priest, has made the perfect sacrifice. And it's not a bull. It's himself. He is both the priest and the sacrifice. He sacrificed himself by dying on the cross. Have a look on the screen at Hebrews chapter 7. It says, unlike the other high priests, Jesus does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. What a beautiful verse. Unlike those high priests in Exodus, so tiring day after day, sin offerings for themselves and for others, Jesus, once for all. And just think of those words. They're so comforting. Once for all. You do not need to wake up one morning and worry, does God still love me? Am I going to make it to heaven? Have I done enough? No. Jesus has died for you once for all. He has done all that is needed for your sins to be forgiven once for all. There is no sin that is too great for his forgiveness. His sacrifice was perfect once for all, dying to take your punishment. What a beautiful, comforting truth. It should fill our hearts with assurance. Once for all, no more sacrifices for sin needed. It's why, one of the reasons why I don't like calling ministers priests. I don't like calling things like this an altar, because we've had that one perfect sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Once for all. Well, what about you? You're a mini priest. What about you? Well, we're called to offer our lives as living sacrifices, to serve Jesus in all that we do. And just like those priests were pretty busy with a big job, you and I have a big job. Look on the screen at 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. What are you meant to do as a priest? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Just like the priests in the tabernacle, we serve in the kingdom of God. We're sharing the good news of Jesus. We're called as mini priests to declare the praises of Jesus so that everyone in the St. George area would know what Jesus has done for them. And we come together at church, and this isn't a tabernacle, but it's the kingdom of God, God's people. And we're serving in kids' ministry and music and prayers and tech and whatever it is. We're like mini priests serving in God's church. That's another reason why calling a minister a priest almost sets two levels of ministry, when really we're all priests and we're all serving. All busy, just like those Exodus priests, set apart to serve the Lord Jesus. The priests were holy. The priests made sacrifices. And lastly, what did the priests do? They represented the people. They represented the people. We're familiar with the idea of ambassadors, aren't we? Australia has many ambassadors that represent us to other countries. And the priests in Exodus were representatives. They represented God to the people and the people to God. And you see that in their clothes. On the screen is a picture again. On the ephod, on the shoulders, were written the names of the tribes of Israel. And then on the breastplate, 12 precious stones, each stone mentioning a tribe of Israel. That meant as the priest went into the presence of God, the average Israelite knew their name was being represented before God. That their name was so close to God's heart, it was next to the heart of the priest. Now, there's a song we're going to sing after the sermon. You know the lyrics, probably. Talking about Jesus. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me hence depart. You see, Jesus is bearing our names on his heart. He loves you. He died for you. You're precious to him. He knows you by name. And right now, he is standing before God the Father in heaven, and he is representing you. He's saying to God the Father, Mark, he's my son. I love him. I died for him. He's with me. Karen, I love her. She's a daughter. I love her. She's with me. I died for her. He's representing us and pleading our case, not in the earthly tabernacle, but in the heavenly one. Hebrews chapter 8. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. Imagine how special you'd feel if you knew that right now on the desk of King Charles was a little card that said your name and had a picture of you. That right there on his desk, your name there just stays there permanently, you. Right now in the throne room of heaven, your name is written on Jesus' heart. He died for you, and he is standing before God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And he is representing you. What a beautiful picture of comfort and assurance. God knows you by name. If you ever doubt whether you're saved, remember, Jesus died for you and he's in heaven right now representing you. And you can pray and you can come to God and you know all your prayers are heard because Jesus is there representing you. Hebrews chapter 4. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Friends, you can come to God anytime, any place. No matter what you're going through, no matter how hard it is, and you might think no one else understands, but Jesus understands. He knows your pain. He knows your hardship, and he is praying for you right now in heaven. He is with you. He is interceding for you and representing your name before the Father. Wow. Well, what about us as mini priests? The priests in the Exodus represented God to the people, and so do we. We are sharing with the world the good news of Jesus. As mini priests, we are representing God and his glorious good news and sharing it with the people of Sydney. We want them to know how much God loves them. We want them to know that the only way to heaven is through Jesus. We want them to know the meaning and hope that can be found in him. We are a kingdom of priests. And we're also praying. We're praying for our friends. We're praying for our family. We're praying for our church, asking our Father in heaven for his blessing and his work of his Spirit. We are a kingdom of priests, serving the perfect priest, Jesus. Friends, you need a priest. You need a priest to deal with your problem of sin, to make it possible for you to be in a relationship with a holy God. But you don't need an Old Testament priest. You need Jesus. The perfect priest, holy, perfect, who sacrificed himself for you. Invite the band up now, and let me just read some of the words of the song we're going to sing as they come up. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. Let's stand and sing together.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love. Whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that wall in heaven he stands. No tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased with his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased with his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Please grab a seat. Thank you again for coming and joining us today. Just a couple of reminders before we close. Please stick around. We'll have some tea and coffee up the back. And shortly, I'm sure we'll be given instructions for how the cafe will work. Our kids have been working hard preparing food. When they're ready, they'll let us know and we can go into the hall and enjoy a substantial morning tea, almost lunch together. And also remember that there's some great books in the hall that you can browse and take home. So check those out for your own reading. Let me close in prayer. Father, we thank you for our time together today. We thank you for Jesus, the great high priest, who sacrificed himself once for all and who represents us in the throne room of heaven, who has enabled us access to you and to be in relationship with you. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us in our role as your priests here on earth, that we can offer our lives as living sacrifices, serving you faithfully and pointing people to you. We ask this in the name of your Son. Amen. See you next week. Mm-hmm.